107.7.
2 Dry FM.
Is there a speaker in here?
The New York Times.
The Youth Times!
You all come to us young people for hope. How dare you?
Well, when life gives you lemons.
Hello and welcome to the Youth Times. My name's Alicia and I'm here with Max and Faith.
Hello.
We'd like to start off by acknowledging the Wurundjeri people of the Barkindji Nation, the traditional owners of the land which we are living on and broadcasting on. We honour those First Nation, past, present and emerging.
And today we're going to be talking about the little creative writing workshop that's been going on for the last couple of days. It went on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. With Greta Jackson. So we're just going to be talking a bit about that. We're going to have a special little interview. Stay tuned.
Yeah, and we also have an interview with Tish Reynolds later in the program. We're going to keep playing our favourite songs, and if you want to make a request, text us on 0468 886 107. And coming up first, we've got Looper by King Stingray and
Milyakbara by Emily Warumara.
You're on 2 Dry FM.
Whoop whoop.
Yeah.
cool breeze on my face. I feel the cool breeze in my head. As I sit here on this shore, this island no other can compare. Miliyapara, Miliyapara, Amalja. Like diamonds, hearts set in the beautiful sun. Can you hear the whispering in the trees? Oh yes, we are one. Miliyapara, Miliyapara, Aramalja.
You're back on the Youth Times.
Woo!
And here in the studio,
we have a guest.
From the Creative Writing Workshop.
The Creative Writing Workshop for radio has been going on with Greta Jackson, and it ended today, unfortunately.
Unfortunately. Since Wednesday, a group of us have been, you know, playing with comedy, sketch writing, creating characters and learning about the different kind of forms and flow to kind of shows and skits. And joining us live from the workshop is Keegan.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
What was your character that you created? Give us an introduction.
Yeah, so I created the character Why She Blue, who was a drag queen who was, like, distinctively known for her blue skin, and she was actually on a cancelled season of RuPaul's Drag Race that was scrapped.
Ooh.
And so now she's, like, really jealous of all the Ru girls that have been on, like, a successful season.
Oh, wow. Quite dramatic.
Slay.
Yep.
Yeah, that's great. So what did you think was challenging about this workshop in general?
Honestly, the performing, where you had to, like, get up perform in front of everyone. And I was like, oh, do I really have to do this? But I managed.
Well, you did really good.
Yeah.
You did good.
I did good. Thank you.
What was, like, your favourite part of doing the entire thing, like, this whole workshop?
My favourite part was the video examples. There was this video example of, like, we had to go through the types of comedies, and there was this one where it was, like, this dude dancing, and it was, like, the most random, like, dancing ever, and there was, like, some stupid song with it too.
Oh,
I cannot remember the song. Oh, it was, like, Sitting on People or something, and it was, like, bizarre.
Like, yes. This is me,
sit on a lap or something, and it was, like, and he would, like, go up to people and, like, sit on them,
and
it was, like,
close-ups.
I was, like, and it was, like, so bizarre. And, like,
morning alarm. Bizarre humor.
I was cracking it, and, like, everyone else was just, like, not laughing at all. And
the,
like,
rest of us were stone cold.
I know, and I was, like, losing it.
Yeah, you were gone. What other, like, sketches or characters stood out for you?
So some of the characters was Raphael and Buffalo Bill. I don't want to butcher the, like, creator's name. I'm not sure how to say
Saba.
Her name. Saba. Yeah, it was, like, these very, like, gym bro kind of characters. And it was just... And then, so Raphael was a gym bro. And then Buffalo Bill was this, like, Nakato Avocado ripoff who lives in his parents' basement. And it was, like... And then Martian, created by Max.
Ooh.
That was a great character. Yeah, you not knowing anything about Earth.
I didn't know anything full stop.
Was it you when you like what? Owned an iced tea factory
or
something?
Yeah, I did own an iced tea factory.
Yeah, and then you said that Why She Blue and Martian were related, and I was like, no! How dare you?
Well, you stole my idea.
I did not. I literally told you. We're not going to fight live on air.
Yeah.
No, we're not going
to
do that.
Yeah. We like to keep the peace here at the Youth Times.
So, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
You know, if you keep listening to Youth Times, you might hear his voice come up.
I'm famous, you guys.
You're famous era.
I know, right?
You're staying tuned. We got Digital Forest by
Wunderbar.
And Confidence by Ocean Alley. This is the Youth Times on 2DRY FM.
Oh, whoa!
Go!
You're back on the Youth Times on 2Dry FM, and now we're going to play an interview with Tish Reynolds about NAIDOC, family, and the importance of closeness.
Thank you for joining me here today.
No, that's okay. I'm happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
I'm here with Tish Reynolds. Hello.
Hi.
We're going to be talking a little bit about, you know, the passing NAIDOC week and all of the important celebration about that. But do you want to just tell me a bit about yourself first up?
All right. So I'm Tish Reynolds. I've lived in the Broken Hill community for over 20 years. I'm actually a Bundjalung and Yorta Yorta woman. So my family come from the Northern Rivers area and down in Victoria, New South Wales, around the Shepparton, Echuca, Barmer area. So, yeah.
Very nice, yeah. Yeah, the NAIDOC theme was for our elders last week. What kind of personal connection do you have to NAIDOC? What does it mean to you?
So for me, NAIDOC, I've always grown up with NAIDOC week, like the big celebrations that everybody's had. Mm. I found this year was quite special as it honoured, like was for our elders. So it sort of honoured the elders that have taught us our culture, have, you know, lived that experience of growing up back then. But for me personally, this year was a little bit special. Because when I look at elders in my family, I come from a very strong family of activists and they fought very hard for our rights, going back all the way to 1938, which was, I guess, when we look at NAIDOC, it originally, the concept came in 1940, which was after the very first day of mourning protest, which was a really significant protest for Aboriginal people. So my grandfather, Jack Patton, well, my great-grandfather, sorry, Jack Patton, he actually was one of the key activists that organised the Day of Mourning. So the Day of Mourning, if people don't know, is what the, on the on January 26, 1938, when they were celebrating the 150th anniversary of Australia, it was where all of the Aboriginal people came together to call for a voice for their rights to be heard and for, you know, justice for them and to be recognised within the Australian Constitution and within, you know, Parliament to be able to have a say of what's happening with our people. And he was one of the key drivers that travelled all across Victoria, New South Wales, going to every community to get their input. He actually created a newspaper, which in his newspaper, which was the very first Aboriginal newspaper, it actually called out the 10 steps to, I guess, not so much reconciliation, but the 10 steps that they would like to achieve, which was, you know, equality, education, healthcare, all of those sort of things, the rights to vote. NAIDOC Day actually came 2 years after in 1940, and it was the first Sunday of the year. So I think it was a Sunday the 3rd or something for 1940. And on that day, it was a day of observance of Aboriginal people. So it was a day that people were meant to, I guess, reflect on Aboriginal people in their community and what they've achieved, what their achievements are.
Right, yeah.
Going forward from that, it changed to a day in July,
right,
on a Sunday. And then in 1991, it went to a full week. So with NAIDOC, it was actually one of the key players that drove NAIDOC out was actually the churches.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, they called for it and called for, you know, prayers in people's thoughts for Aboriginal community and to reflect back on the achievements of Aboriginal people and understanding of their culture. So that's sort of, I guess, how we're here today.
It's fantastic. That's absolutely. Was there a reason why it was moved to July? Or was that just...
I'm not 100% sure why it was moved to July. That's a good question. I would be interested to find that one out, though. But no, I'm not 100% sure why. And that was only in 1991 is when it became the full week of NAIDOC week.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, it may have something to do maybe with the Mabo decision or something like that, because I know that all of that happened around that same time, 30-so years ago.
Not very long, hey. That's,
no,
wow. Yeah. How did you get to know about your, like, great-grandfather? Was that a... Did you know of him, like, were you taught about him as a kid?
So, sadly, no. So, growing up, my father was actually a member of the Stolen Generation.
Right, okay.
So, we didn't grow up close with our family or that connection. So, it's only been over the last... a few years that we've really had a strong connection back with our family. And that's one thing that this year I really reflected on with for our elders is I really thought about all of those elders that are still making their way back to their families and making their way home. Like they've had their struggles all these years and, you know, there are still a lot that haven't made their way home yet and they're coming to the end of their lives and stuff, and I just really, you know, have those hopes that they all get that closure and all get to find their families and their country.
Absolutely. Hey, was it a, or I mean, when did you embark on that, like the connection with the rest of your family? Like, when did that start for you?
So, for me, growing up, like, we've always been Aboriginal. That's never changed. We've always been accepted in the communities that we've lived in as Aboriginal. That's never been an issue for us. But it became that, you know, that question of, oh, who's your mob? Where are you from? And we're always like, well, actually, you know, we didn't have an answer for that. So I don't know, I think going through my teenage years and getting a bit older, I sort of had that, not an identity crisis, but I just had a really big drive to try and find that. And as my father was getting older, I thought, you know, this is something really important that he deserves to know and needs to know. And, you know, he'd reached out to our services, like we've got New South Wales linked up and stuff like that. So, you know, we'd been in talks with them for many years and we found out a lot of information. So him and four of his siblings were actually taken at birth. So, and they're, you know, some have found their way home, but we're still looking for others. So when people think of the Stolen Generation and it was so long ago and it doesn't affect you now, like, it is a big misconception. Like, it really does affect people living and breathing this day. And they're still trying to find that connection back home. And, like, a lot of these elders of our communities and stuff, they either were a victim of it or they know someone that was, or they're missing family themselves. So, you know, I think honouring this year's theme for our elders, it really, for me, it gave a lot of reflection on the Stolen Generation and the impacts that our elders went through growing up and the fear that they would have had growing up. So, I don't know, to have the nation sort of recognise that and, you know, have a week where they're thinking about our elders and their struggles and, you know, and not just that, like our elders, they achieved great things. They were our fiercest activists. They were our first educators. They're our connection to our culture. So, you know, it was a very important theme this year, I think.
Absolutely, yeah. How was the, because it's so important, how do you feel like the response has been from our community around it?
This year, I was actually quite blown away by the support that our community showed towards this year's theme. I went to quite a few of the local NAIDOC events and it was, they were great. Like the turnouts were great and just being able to immerse yourself for a week with your community and, you know, just catch up with people. And I know a lot of people, we don't get to see each other all the time and stuff. So it was really nice to be able to have so many different things on that, you know, we could all meet up and catch up with each other. And it was lovely to see, like, the elders and stuff all seeing each other when they hadn't seen each other for a while, and all the families coming together and sharing food and, you know, talking. It was just beautiful.
No, it was lovely. Yeah, seeing it at the community centre was also, like, I didn't know what was going on. And so going in there, I was like, it looked fantastic.
No, the community centre one was really good. And, oh, the kangaroo curry.
That was really good.
That was so that was good.
That was great.
The feed was the highlight of the week.
who put the event on? Like, who?
So that one was done through the Aboriginal Land Council here.
Okay.
Yep.
You know, nice.
That was really good. There's a calendar of events that sort of went out this year. And on that it had what different services or groups were doing to celebrate NAIDOC, so the wider community could participate and come along and join in. And in October we will still be having our yearly family fun day in the park. So that's very exciting. And there's a bit of movement happening in that area as well.
Very nice.
And here in Broken Hill, we move at the NAIDOC in the park. We move that to October just because it's warmer weather. So it's, you know, we're not going to get rained on, and it's easier for our elders to come down because it's not so cold and stuff like that. So
that's fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining me.
No, you're very welcome.
You're back on the Youth Times on 2JFM.
Hey, this is the Youth Times 2JFM. You just listened to Techno Show by Peach Pit and Confidence by Ocean Alley. We did have a little mix-up. The other song was What Once Was Hers by Hers. What Once Was by Hers. Don't mind me. But now I'm going to be interviewing my two co-hosts, Max and Faith.
And we also have Keegan here again. Hello.
I'm here still again, here. You guys. I'm still just too good.
Yeah. So yeah, I was going to ask you some questions about the creative workshop that I unfortunately couldn't attend. I'm upset. So yeah,
it's okay.
Max and Faith, what was your favorite character that you created?
Martian. Ooh, was my character. She didn't know nothing about Earth. She owned a sweet tea company back in Mars and was pretty clueless. So yeah,
Martian was cute.
Not my best work, but you know, we ball.
You really like the like cluelessness was just on point.
I know, it was real. It's like natural.
Like it wasn't
the
acting.
The cluelessness just came naturally, you know.
We thought you were actually from Mars.
Oh my god, really?
Yeah, like for you.
Yeah. Thank you so much, guys.
Your acting was just too good.
What about you, Faith? My character, I'm going to go with the one that was we had to write a story about like someone facing their worst fear. And mine was about this 45-year-old man who had a crippling fear of going downstairs and how his wife had his life was destroyed because he could only like roly-poly downstairs.
Yeah, oh my.
And he like bowled into his children one day and then they all left. And I was like, that was a fun monologue. Anyway, he's nameless, so what name? What name?
Wasn't it like something really generic? Like yeah.
John
really...
Smith.
John Snow.
Andrew.
Andrew Snow.
Call him Dewey.
Dewey Finn? Like from School of Rock? Oh my god.
So, okay, creative scenario, you've been doing creative workshops. What would happen if your characters met?
Not a lot. World War III.
Honestly, I think Y-Ship Lou would be like too, like, she's better than y'all. She's not going to meet up with some
Martian?
Normies.
Martian would be like, what the fuck is going on, guys? Like, I don't understand.
Do you know what popped in my head? Is that if Marsha met the guy who can't go down the stairs, is that's how Marsha will think you go downstairs and start just roly-polying downstairs.
Yeah, because that's how you think that humans go downstairs.
Yeah.
So you come out of it beaten and bruised.
What are you guys doing?
Oh my god.
That would be
go back to Mars just fully bruised. Oh yeah, I rolled down some stairs.
And then it'll like people will like watch it and it'll like become a sport or something. It'll be like competitive like stair rolling or something.
And we can make a competition and make money.
Make it an Olympic sport.
Oh my god.
Listen.
Like, okay.
And then we can go to one of Why She Blue's pageants.
Why She Blue's
watch her commit arson. And then...
Yeah, she commit arson. She came runner-up in a drag pageant and she was like, I should have won. So she set the place on fire.
Oh yeah.
It was just...
Yeah.
So, what was your favorite parts of like the entire workshop?
The snacks. They were pretty good.
Megan. What was your favorite bit, Keegan?
My favorite part was like, I think I said it before earlier, and I don't remember what I said.
Wow. Wow.
I'm doing great, guys. Sorry, short-term memory loss.
Woo. I don't know what my favorite bit was. I'm just trying to think about. I did like, because you said looking at the different comedy.
Yes. The like.
That was good.
That was so.
I did like watching everyone else act out their stuff.
Yeah, that was really fun.
Yeah, that was good.
That was really fun.
Not myself doing it.
Also, what was it? Greta. Like her showing the one that she was in.
Oh my god, yes, the active wear.
I searched up and it had like 7 million views. I was like, okay. It's like
famous.
Iconic. Okay. Like, thank you, Greta. Greta,
yeah.
A little.
Ooh. Yeah, thank you.
Shout out to you, Greta. We love you.
So, any other highlights you want to mention?
I should mention that Why She Blue was inspired by a lot of characters. The name itself was inspired by Why She Black, who's a drag queen from the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And she was very heavily inspired by Sylvia Knight, who was an Icelandic basically troll who went on Eurovision and she oh trolled God. Everyone and it was hilarious. And I was like, I have to base a character off this.
Nice. Whoa. Okay, so let's end the interview here. But you'll hear more from us later.
Thank you. Thank
Coming
you.
Up, we have Thank Stuck you. In the Middle by Green Tea Peng and Zoom by Last Dinosaurs. You're listening to the Youth Times and 2Dry FM.
Stuck in the middle. I have been pushed, I have been pulled. There is no leading me no more astray. I have been pushed, I have been pulled. There is no need. I walk these streets amongst lost souls. I know there is no space for doubt no more. It's all written, that's how it goes. No point in resisting the flow. Getting your energy low. Worrying about things that you can't control. Had to dip out and into my zone. Listen closely, what's that sound? Rising up from the underground. The heads ain't lost, but it ain't been found. Ain't in the habit of sticking around. Ain't in the habit of sticking around. In the middle, I have been pushed and I've been pulled. There is no fooling me no more, no way. I have been pushed and I've been pulled. You have no say no more. I walk these lands with open mind and eyes. I find the more conclusions, the more I just feel confined. No more wasting time on your negative vibes, trying to stay aligned. I'm trying to stay aligned, stay aligned. Listen closely, what's that sound? Rising up from the underground. The heads ain't lost, but it ain't been found. Ain't in the habit of sticking around. Ain't in the habit of sticking around. Listen closely, what's that sound? Rising up from the underground. The heads ain't lost, but it ain't been found. Ain't in the habit of sticking around.
want of you. It's time to reinvent, don't care to what extent. Subconscious disarray, I want to look away. I'll let the shadow play. I can't tell the difference when everyone's pretending to play ball. Oh, now I'm all for resistance, but I can't take it anymore. To be just another.
Hello and welcome back to the Youth Times.
Hello.
Hello.
Unfortunately, it's time for us to go.
Oh no.
So if you missed today's episode, we talked about the creative writing workshop that happened at 2JRFM this week with Greta and Megan, and yeah, it was a lot of fun. Thank you, Keegan, for joining us today.
Thank you.
And thanks to Greta, as well as Megan, for their hard work and great guidance throughout the workshop.
Yeah, we'll be back next week. I won't. Same place, same time. 107.72 Dry FM at 4 p.m. sharp.
So yeah, unfortunately, Faith won't be here next week or the week after.
I'm going to Spain to get my hairline redone.
I love that. Sure. Are they alright?
Anyway.
Okay.
Excuse you.
Okay. To take us out, we have Too Much Time Together by San Cisco and Panam Panam.
Padam.
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 Padam. By Kylie Minogue.
Oh, Minogue. Minjaj.
Oh my God. And then back to the regular stuff you know and love. After us, we have Ali.
Ali?
Alia.
Ali? Ali. Who is she?
Alia will be on with her program, The Drive Home. So ease into the transition on your way home.
Stay slay, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
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 Bye-bye.